Turn to Exodus 31, Exodus 31 in your Bibles. And we live in a society that wants to keep God out of much of its life. We live in a secular society which takes a secular approach to life. Doesn't factor God into life's equation. And when you don't factor God into life's situations, you are putting yourself into a dangerous position in life. You know, take for instance, you know, the Camp Joy liquor referendum. You know, people didn't what? Well, they didn't factor God into that equation. And, you know, you look at liquor, you look at that type of drink and what the Bible says about it, and there's a lot of warnings. I mean, just take a look at society. And what has happened in our society because of it. Look at the many people that die every year because of that. Look at the families that are destroyed. But no, you know, it's about the dollar bill. It's about, you know, let's do what we want to do. You know, people making some money. And, you know, Israel came to the point where in certain aspects, they left God out of the equation, and they went their own direction, which maybe to them made sense, but from a spiritual standpoint, it made no sense. And when we leave God out of the equation of our lives, sometimes it can be in somebody's whole life. For a believer, obviously, you know, if you're a believer, you haven't left God out of the equation of your whole life. But we need to make sure that in every area of our lives that we realize God's control. We realize God's power. We realize His ability to work. In Isaiah chapter 31 and verse 1, it says, "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many. And in horsemen, because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord." So here the children of Israel, instead of going to God for their help, they went to Egypt. They took a secular approach to the danger that they were facing. Let's go down to Egypt and see if Egypt can help us. You know, many times believers take the same approach. You know, they need help with a particular problem. And instead of going to the Lord for their help, instead of going to the Word of God for their answers, they go to the world to find out what the world has to say. You know, maybe they have a monetary problem. And instead of going to the Word of God and seeing what the Word of God has to say about it, they go to the world and say, okay, how can the world help me? What advice can the world give me? Maybe they even get to the point where they stop tithing. They stop, you know, giving to the Lord, thinking, well, you know, this is what's going to help me. And, you know, that's maybe the advice the world would give them. I remember somebody telling me, sometime in the past year, I think, about some advice that they had gotten. And basically, I think the people told them, or whoever they were talking with told them, well, why don't you, you know, basically they're giving too much to the church. And, you know, they're one way to maybe solve some financial difficulty would be, you know, stop giving to them. It's the church, you know, not the Lord. Stop giving. Well, that's what? That's a secular approach to living. In Israel, instead of going to God for their help, they went to the land of Egypt. You know, what was the problem with going? What was one of the dangers in going to the land of Egypt? Well, one danger is there was the danger of false hopes. You know, they're putting their hope, they're putting their confidence in the land of Egypt. And what was going to happen? Well, Egypt, in Egypt, they were not assured that they were going to have the victory. There was a false hope. You know, you put your hope in the world system. You put your hope in a secular idea, and you are putting your hope in something false, something that can very easily fail you. So they went down to Egypt for help. It says, and stay on horses. All right, the idea of stay is to lean upon something. All right, so they were leaning upon horses. They were putting their trust in horses. You know, sometimes you get tired and you what? Maybe there's a wall there. And you lean against the wall, you know, to help what? Help support you. You know, Pastor Hatchett there for a little while, you know, had to what? Well, he needed a cane to help himself lean on to get around because he had surgery. And so sometimes we'll have something that will help us, help support us. All right, and what was Israel using for their support? Well, it says, and stay on horses. They were leaning upon something physical to protect them. So stay on horses and trust in chariots. They're putting their confidence in chariots, horses and chariots. And to other countries, this would what? Well, this might make sense because what was used in battle? Well, horses and chariots. You know, you look at our country nowadays, and what do people want to put their trust in? Well, let's make sure we have the strongest military. You know, I'm not against a strong military. But the fact is that our country is turning its back on God, and you can have the strongest military in the world, but if you turn your back on God, you're going to be in grave danger because you have lost your greatest protection. And so Israel turned their back on God. And just like when anyone turns their back on God, they are putting themselves in a potentially very dangerous situation, except for God's mercy. It says, unless God's mercy intervenes in their life. And stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many. You know, really, this is a sign of a secular approach in our lives is when we put our confidence in numbers. You know, it can be easy to do. Put your confidence in numbers. You know, somebody might, if somebody's got a lot of people behind them, well, that must be the best. You know, they've got a lot of people. You know, we like to be on the what? We like to be on the winning side. You know, we like to have a lot of numbers. You know, we think if we can have the most numbers, then, you know, we're going to win. But not in God's book. It says, entrust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. You know, just because something is physically strong and from a human standpoint is strong does not mean that in God's sight that person or that thing is strong. It just doesn't work that way. One's a secular realm, one is a spiritual realm. And you can have the strongest thing from a secular standpoint. You look at the children of Israel, Numbers 13, and those people looked what? Looked strong, and they were strong. But in God's sight, they were what? They were nothing. And here in this chapter, you know, the children of Israel might have looked down to Egypt and saw, boy, they've got some strength down there. Boy, look at all the horses. Look at the chariots. Look at the strength that we can gain from them if we could get them on our side. You know, we need to make sure we don't fall into the trap of thinking, well, if we could just get this organization behind us. You know, if we could just get this person on our side, what we could get accomplished. Well, no, we need to make sure that first and foremost, we're pleasing God. And if we think we've got to get this organization or we've got to get, you know, this person behind us, we've got to make sure our program appeals to this group of people, instead of first and foremost making sure that what we do is appealing to God. We're going to put ourselves in grave danger. And Israel had formed a secular mindset and was opening themselves up to the dangers of false hopes, a false hope in their lives. It says, because they are very strong, but they what? They look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. So here, in contrast, you know, their first thought maybe was to what? Boy, let's look around us. Let's see where we can get this help. Instead of their first thought being, let's look to the Lord. What can He provide for us? They look not unto the Lord. Their gaze, their eyesight was not upon the Lord. They did not consider the Lord. They did not look upon Him. And they also did not what? They also did not seek after the Lord, but instead they sought after their own ways. They sought after their own ideas. You know, we live in such a secular society today that if we're not careful, instead of our first reaction in a problematic situation being to turn to the Lord, we can very easily start to formulate our own ideas, our own opinions, and begin to seek after them to solve our problems instead of putting the Lord first in every problematic situation that comes in front of us. You know, and how is that going to take place? Well, it's learning daily to what? Look to the Lord. It's learning daily to consider Him. It's daily seeking Him. You know, if we're in that habit of daily seeking Him, when we get in that problematic situation, that crisis situation that maybe Israel was in where they needed help, we would what? Turn to the Lord. And that's why we need to daily be in that mindset of seeking God. So when that situation arises, that is where we turn. You know, we think that, boy, when that problem comes up, we're going to turn to God. You know, but if you're not in a daily habit of doing it, don't expect yourself to turn to God when that problematic situation turns up in your life. It just doesn't work that way. Verse number 2, it says, yet He also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back His words. You know, when we have a secular mindset in life, we have the danger of false wisdom taking over in our lives. You know, that's what Israel was doing. They maybe from a secular standpoint were making a wise decision. But they forgot that what? Real wisdom is found in God. And it's almost like, you know, the way that it's put here, uniquely put here, verse number 2, yet He also is wise. You have a secular approach to life, you forget what? You don't think God is full of wisdom. But yet over in Romans chapter 11, it says, oh, the depth, verse 33, of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor? You know, so many people today want to think that they know better than God, that God should act a certain way in a certain situation, and they forget His wisdom. Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. And what had Israel forgotten? They had forgotten the great wisdom of God. And God's reminding them, hey, I'm wise. You know, God is the what? The omniscient, the all-knowing Savior. Yet He also is wise and will what? And will bring evil. All right, He can bring what? Calamity. He can bring danger in the situation. And we need to remember to factor him into every situation of life. He says, and will not call back his words. You know, what do men do? You know, we're going through an election year. And, you know, men are constantly doing what? You know, making maybe promises. Or maybe if they don't make them, they portray themselves to that they're going to do a certain thing. And, you know, it's you put your trust in politicians many times, and your hopes are what? You know, they're deflated many times. They could be deflated rather quickly sometimes. And, you know, it's unfortunately, it seems like a lot of times those that are going to do something wrong and they promise to do something wrong, that a lot of times they'll what? Well, a lot of times they'll maybe come through with the wrong thing they promised to do. You know, somebody's promised to do something right, and, you know, sometimes it happens, but unfortunately many times it doesn't. But it says with the Lord, and will not call back his words. You know, God, Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. You know, who do you want to put your trust in? Do you want to put your trust in someone that can, that will go back on their word? You're going to put your trust in the Lord, who is faithful. You know, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Who is your trust in tonight? You know, that situation in your life, who have you put your trust in? Who are you turning to for the wisdom that you need to make the right decisions? You know, if we develop this secular mindset in life, we're running the risk. We are opening ourselves up to the danger of false wisdom. You may think you're making a wise choice in life. But the problem is when it's too late, you're going to find out that it was the wrong choice. And you have already opened yourself up to something dangerous. You know, yes, God is many times merciful. And many times he gives us another chance, but sometimes, guess what? Sometimes we only have one chance. You know, the children of Israel, the first time, they had what? They had one chance to enter the promised land. And they didn't. And then some people thought, well, we'll go in right away, afterwards. And God, and what happened to them? Well, they were killed. You know, and so the danger of false wisdom. You know, don't think you can just make your own choice and you're going to be fine. And it's all going to turn out. Better watch out. False wisdom. And the problem with false wisdom is that many times you think you are making the right choice. You think you're doing something right. You know, you may even find people to back up the decision that you're making. But you have false wisdom. It's because you have developed a secular approach to life. How important it is for us to search after, like in Proverbs chapter 2, you know, to be searching after the right kind of wisdom. The searching after understanding. To go about it God's way instead of going about it our own way. You know, how many people, how many marriages have had problems because maybe some, you know, Christian young person thought they could go about it their way instead of going about it God's way. So the danger of false wisdom. It says, yet he also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. We find here the danger of lost protection. He says in verse number 3, now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. It says, when the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they all shall what? Shall fail together. You know, here, the danger of lost protection. He says, he will rise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. You know, here Israel is what? The Jews here are wanting to join themselves up with Egypt when they should have what? Looked to God. And one commentary, you know, pointed out here the unequal yoke. You know, and you join yourself up with sin and God comes to maybe, you know, judge the sin. Are you going to be right there in the midst of it? You know, Lot, obviously God protected, you know, Lot and brought him out of Sodom. You know, but look at his family was destroyed. Look at what took place. And, you know, you develop a secular mindset of what in life. You choose to go against what God is seeking to do, and you're also what? Going against. You're also losing out on God's protection in life. You know, you're going to go that way. You think of a classic example of this is Rosalind Goforth with their children. You know, and she didn't want to what? She didn't want to go with her husband into that interior, maybe away from the maybe good medical attention that they could receive where they were, or go to a place, and I can't remember exactly how it all went, but go to a place that would put their children in danger. And she was using what kind of thinking? Secular thinking. And she what? She missed out on God's protection because she put, instead of thinking spiritually, instead of deciding, okay, what does God want from me? Instead of realizing, you know what? God's power is greater than the diseases that my family could face if I will follow Him, follow God to the place that He has called us to. And so there's the danger of lost protection. The Bible says in verse number 3, now the Egyptians are men and not God. And their horses are flesh and not spirit. You know, there is nothing, there is no comparison here. In, let's see here, where is it? 2 Kings chapter 6 in verse number 17. This is when Elisha, you know, was telling the king of Samaria about, you know, basically giving away the location of the enemy king. The king of Syria wanted a war against them. And Elisha is giving away the location of where this king is going to be. You know, the king of Samaria is wondering, okay, what's going on here? Who's giving out my location? Well, it was God was revealing it to Elisha. And the king of Assyria sends men out to what? To verse 14, it says, therefore he sent hither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. So they've encircled here Dothan, the place where Elisha is staying. I mean, this would be a pretty what? Fearful situation. You know, imagine if you woke up and your house was surrounded. You know, or maybe your subdivision was surrounded by some foreign army. You know, and there was nothing, not much you can do. There's a foreign army surrounding your subdivision. Well, I think you might be kind of scared. And anyways, what does Elisha say? Verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, here's his servant. Well, notice his servant in verse 15. When the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And you wonder how his servant may respond to that. Well, I don't see anybody. You know, it's you and I, and I don't know, maybe there's some other people there in the city. And maybe he's starting to wonder, you know, does Elisha know how to count? You know, what school did he go to? Maybe he didn't think that. But, you know, what's going on here? And Elisha prayed, it says in verse 17, and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. What had his servant forgotten about? Well, he had forgotten to factor God into the situation and God's power and what he could do. And God opened up his eyes. You know, how often are our eyes blinded to what God can do? To what he has in store? You know, and that's what, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by what? We walk by faith, not by sight. You know, and when you have a secular approach to life, you really are risking the danger of what? The danger of blindness. You're not going to be able to see. You're going to lose out. And the fact is that that servant at that point could not what? He couldn't see what God had. He missed it, but was it there? It was still there. If you would ask the servant, you know, before God opened his eyes, if there was a great host there, you know, probably what would he have said? No, I don't see anything. You know, you wonder how many times we miss what God has in store for us, and we make the wrong decision. And here this servant, he's afraid. Elisha, was he afraid? He was calm. He wasn't worried about anything. Why? Because he saw. You know, we need those eyes of faith that can see what God has. You know, may God open up our eyes and may we see things from a spiritual perspective, from God's perspective, rather than seeing things from our own human perspective. Verse 18, when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And God smites the army with blindness. He delivers them. You know, Elisha leads the whole army right to the king of Samaria. And God protects them. You know, we need to make sure that we have the right perspective. And God says, the Egyptians are men. They're not God. Their horses are flesh and not spirit. You know, their horses are limited. They're flesh. You know, they can be what? In one place, at one time, you know, doing what? One thing. Well, unless they can eat and walk at the same time. But, you know, they're very limited. They're flesh. But what? God said they're flesh and not spirit. You know, Zechariah 4 and verse 6, not by what? Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they all shall fail together. Now this phrase here, when the Lord shall stretch out his hand. In reading a commentary about this, they, or actually I think even a couple, pointed to the fact of this could even be reminding of what God did in the land of Egypt. When it talks about the 10 plagues, what does it talk about? God doing what? Stretching forth his hand over the land of Egypt. And what took place when God stretched forth his hand over the land of Egypt? Well, there was great destruction. And you go back to the book of Exodus and you see what happened when God stretched forth his hand over the land of Egypt. And there was desolation. You know, and even the people of Egypt coming to the Pharaoh and saying, let these people go. You know, look what's happening to our land. Why? God stretched forth his hand over the land of Egypt. You know, do you want to be going to the workers of iniquity, seeking their help? And God stretches forth his hand, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they all shall fail together. You know, whose side do you want to boldly proclaim that you are on? You know, verse 4 gives a picture of who they could have gone to. Verse 4, for thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, When a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. You know, it gives a picture of God as this mighty lion, and he has this prey, and he's not going to what? He's not going to let anybody take this prey from him. You know, and if the children of Israel would have, if these people would have just put their trust in the Lord, God wanted to what? He wanted to protect him. He wasn't going to let this enemy come in and steal his people from him. You know, and, you know, if there's a lion sitting there, and maybe we don't have, you know, close experiences with lions. I don't think most of you have close experiences with lions. But maybe it's been with a dog. And you go up to a dog, and that dog has a bone in its mouth. Unless you've, you know, trained your dog well, you know, what's that natural response of a dog when he's got a bone in his mouth? And he's going to be growling. I mean, he's not going to want to let go of that. And, you know, can you imagine, you know, you're out on a door-to-door soul winning, and here's a big, you know, Doberman Pinscher or German Shepherd or, you know, Rottweiler or whatever, sitting on the doorstep, maybe a pit bull, and it has a bone in its mouth. You know, are you going to walk up to that thing and, you know, try to tease that dog a little bit? I don't think so. You know, that dog is not going to like you. And here, something far, you know, here's the using the picture of a lion. You know, and like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, you know, there can be a multitude of shepherds called forth against him, yet he is not going to be afraid. You know, and here, children of Israel, instead of turning to the one that wanted to offer protection, the one, the God of heaven, there is obviously no situation that's going to be fearful to him, they go to Egypt. And to us, it might seem foolish, but at the same time, how many times do we do the same thing? Because we have developed a secular perspective on life instead of going to the Lord. You know, how is that right perspective gained? Well, it's what? It's learned by daily walking with God. Because as we get away from that daily walk with God, and we allow these other things to come in, when these crisis situations arise, we can very easily turn to that fleshly wisdom that is not from above and make the wrong decision. And I wonder tonight, what kind of a perspective do you have in your life? You know, have you been blinded tonight by a secular perspective? Maybe tonight, do you need to get into God's Word and have your eyes opened up to what God wants to do in your life and how He wants to solve every problem that you have and how He wants to do some great things in your life? But it's only possible as you will look to Him and seek the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that You would work in our lives tonight. Lord, how easy it is in this day and age in which we live to start thinking about things simply from a secular perspective. Lord, how easy it is for us to leave You out of the equation. Lord, when You are everything. Lord, I pray tonight that each one of our hearts would be challenged. And Lord, that You would open up our eyes and let us see, Lord, what You have in store for them that love You. You know, maybe even right now with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe the Lord's working in your life. You know, maybe there's an area that you've begun to think the wrong way. You know, maybe you need to get back to the Word of God tonight. What God has to say. Maybe you've been looking in the wrong place. Maybe
maybe there's influences in your life. And the reason you have the wrong perspective is you have the wrong influences in your life. And may tonight, may you surrender that to Him. May you begin to see what you are missing out on, because you have turned to the wrong source for the help that you need in your life. Lord, may you work in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and for your love. Lord, for your faithfulness. And we just pray that tonight we would put our trust in the one who cannot lie. Lord, instead of looking to a world that will constantly fail, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.